Okay, we're going to start here in the middle of Ayin Bet Amud Aleph. The Gemara just explained to us what the necessity of the three Mishnayot was. We have a Mishnah here, a Mishnah in Temura, and a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara explained to us each one of these Mishnayot provides us with a certain chidush that we wouldn't have known without the other Mishnah. For instance, the Mishnah in Temura tells us about Kol Shehein, that even when it's not Isir HaNa'ah, there's an Isir of Kol Shehein. The Mishnah in Avodah Zarah teaches us about Hedyot. And over here, our Mishnah teaches us about Kodoshim, as well as our Mishnah teaching us about the Tikkun of Yiru Achis Davu. Now the Gemara asks a very simple question, Ayin Bet Amud Aleph. It says, Vatlo Berubo. Why don't we say that these Shabarim, these items that are with the Zvachim, are Batl Berov? Why are we ignoring the fact that there is a Rov here, and it can be Batl Berov? V'chi Tema. So what's the option here to say that you're not Batl Berov? The Chashive V'lo Batle. That they're too chashuv, each item is too significant, and therefore it's not batel. So why hanicha the man d'amar kol shid darko limanot? That works well according to the one who says that kol shid darko limanot shaninu. We're going to see in a second the Mishnah that includes a language which we're uncertain as to how to read this language, whether it's kol shid darko limanot or leman d'amar et shid darko limanot shaninu, or the other lashon which is et shid darko limanot. What's the difference between them? Kol shid darko limanot is any item that is sometimes sold by number. It's not the only way that it's sold. It's not the only way that people interact with this item, but there are times when a person will sell it by numbers. So if you say over here, the lashon of the Mishnah was kol shid darko limanot, that gives it chashivut, and since it's chashivut, you can't be mevatel it. So over here too, sometimes these shvarim are sold by numbers. Sometimes you sell a whole flock, sometimes you sell them number by number. So since there is a time period, or there are people who do sell them by the number, that gives them chashivut. But according to the one who says et shid darko limanot, the only way to sell them is by number. They're so chashuv that nobody would sell them by weight or just by grouping. They would only sell them by number. Shir darko miyuchad l'kach. That's et shid darko limanot. Then according to that person, that's not true. Non-animals aren't always sold by the number. They're sold by the flock sometimes. They're sold by production. Whatever it is that they gives them the value, but they're not always sold by the exact number of Shvarim are animals that are being sold here. So according to that individual, they're not chashuv enough in order to be nitbatel. Tosfos asks a very basic question. We're going to see on the second half of today's daf that what are the items that are not nitbatel? There's certain items that are so chashuv, they're not nitbatel. Tosfos just asks one question. He says, I don't understand. Shor hagadol. We're talking about a large animal. How can that be garua than all these other items that we're going to mention on the daf today? You're going to see very small items. And they're all considered to be significant. We even talk about chatichat basar, selling a piece of meat. That's also chashuv, and it's not mitbatel sometimes. So why over here, the whole animal, how could you say it's not mitbatel? So Tosfos has to, because of that, say, so the near the farish, dimishum chatat hameitot parichocha. Gemara is asking about chatat hameitot, laman da amar, et shedarko, demashma afilu chatat of. And the reason he says it is because of chatat of. Chatat hameitot is not just with animals. It can affect birds as well. And therefore you have a possibility of something like a little bird that would be one of the chatot hameitot here. If that's one of the chatot hameitot, it would not be mitbatel. So that's what Tosfos introduces over here. What's the reason that we're not thinking that this item is so chashuv? We're talking about something not so chashuv. We're talking about a little bird. Even though, again, when we're talking about a bird, it seems more significant than some of the other items listed here, but that's Tosfos' last-ditched effort to get out of the problem of how this is not considered significant enough versus all the other items that we mentioned here in Avodah Zarah, all the lists of items that are considered chashuvim. It seems that a shor gadol should be chashuv. The other thing Tosfos asks about is, what about birya? We have in general a din that birya is lo nitbatel. And we're talking about something that is a whole creation, something that is a live item, that is significant. And we even say that by Eiver Min HaChai. Eiver Min HaChai is so significant, the Eiver is so significant that it's considered a birya, and therefore it's not nitbatel. So once again over here, how could you claim that this is not a birya, and why shouldn't it be nitbatel? Tosfos answers in the end that the concept of birya is really a statement by the Torah that Mishum Da'avi Ki'ilu Perish Ben Gadol Ben Katan. When the Torah uses the term birya to tell you that this is significant, or when the Gemara explains to us that that's what the Gemara means, or the Torah means in this instance, that means that a whole creation is significant, means that it doesn't matter, its size is irrelevant. that is coming to tell you that big or small, this item is considered to be chayav because it's significant, and that's what the Torah says to you. It's significant enough to be chayav in this case. It's not stam that anytime you have a living animal, anytime you have a full living being, that's classified as a birya, and that automatically gives you a din. It has to be applied to a specific din. For instance, the lav of achila, when it comes to eating an ant. The lav of eating a davar tameh applies to it, even though it's less than a shear, because it's a birya. The Torah says, it's irrespective of the size of the item that you're going to eat, you're going to be chayav for bal tuchal tameh, or bal tuchal sheretz. That's going to be affected by any item that is alive. Not because, again, birya is significant, but because the Torah tells us that's where the restriction applies to, and that's what it means, birya. So birya wouldn't have application, according to Tosos, the way Tosos is explaining birya now, it's not relevant over here. Because here we don't, and there is no din we're dealing with. We're dealing with a concept called rov. And the concept of rov, birya is not a relevant statement. It's a statement when the Torah restricts something, or the Torah says does something, there birya is relevant, because then it's ben gadol, ben katan. But over here, it doesn't have any relevance. So now, we have the Gemara's question laid out here, which is, let's say batel berov. See, according to the one who says, kol shadar kol limanot, fine. We can't say that, because it's too significant. But according to the one who says, etar kol limanot, which means that, it has to be only counted. That's not the case here. So why can't we say batel berov? So ma'ika the meimar, ditznan. And now the Gemara is going to explain these two positions. Mi shayulo chavilei tiltan. Someone has bundles of tiltan, as Rashi points out here. These chavilim are chashuv me'od. They're very significant because af tama eitz shaveh lepri. The stalk or the wood itself has the same taste as the fruit, umalaz. It's called fenugreek. So he's talking about fenugreek. That's what this tiltan is. It's very significant. Shel kilaya karim. It was made of kilaya karim. That fenugreek requires one to eat boku. It has to be burnt because anything with kilaya karim is asur ba'ana. And we have a limud of pen tukadesh that you have to burn any kilaya karim. Nit arvuba achirim. Now you have these tiltan and they get mixed up with other items. Kulan idloku divrei Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, all of them get burnt because there is no bitul over here. The tiltan is so significant that it cannot be nitbatel ayidei being mixed up with other items. The question over here of the girsa of achirim ve'achirim is a question that Tosos raises everywhere in Shas that we have this sugya that's brought up. We've seen it in Avodah Zarah. We've seen it. Whenever it's brought up, Rabbeinu Tam makes the same statement. And that's what this large Tosfos is over here. If you remember back in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that's what the main sugya or the main proof for Rabbeinu Tam is that Shmuel says in Perakol Atzlamim that even a sfeik sfeika is asur. Even when we have a piece of a tzelem, we still worry about the fact that it might have come from a tzelem of Avodah Zarah. He doesn't have the heter of, maybe it's not from Avodah Zarah, and if it is from Avodah Zarah, now it's mitnit parek. Right? Shmuel doesn't have the sveik sveika is mutar in that case. So the Gemara searches for a Tana that believes, like Shmuel, that sveik sveika is asura. That in these cases, you can have such a concept, an isur of sveik sveika being asur. So the Gemara finds Rabbi Yehuda. So Shmuel is according to Rabbi Yehuda. The question, and this is what the Rabbeinu Tam says everywhere, is wait. If this Mishnah really states over here that nitavu v'acherim and acherim v'acherim, you have a case of sveik sveika. So it says, then why didn't the Gemara bring this Mishnah as a proof to Shmuel that there's a Tana that holds like Shmuel? The fact that the Gemara never brings this Mishnah as a proof tells me that this is not the right girsa. Acherim v'acherim is not part of the girsa, and that everybody believes that when you have a sveik sveika b'isur that it is mutar. And that would be true here as well. That if the kalim really fell acherim v'acherim, they would be mutarim. That if they fell into the first grouping, that's not batel berov. That's one safek. There it's not batel. If they fall into a second grouping, then we have a sveik sveika, and that sveik sveika already would be matir over here. So that's it.
Although the svara is the same svara, if it's chashuv, it doesn't matter if it's chashuv if it was.
I mean that the first bitul didn't help you, so why should the second bitul do any more for you? Which will get to Rashi and others who do are goris achirim b'achirim will say that this isn't your classic case of sveik sveika. Because it really isn't. It's a single suffix. In a classic sikha, sveik sveika, this second suffix that's introduced, right, changes something about the dynamics here. This doesn't change anything. When it falls into the second thing, you still have something chashuv that's falling into something else that's not mevatel it. So that's why those that are goris, but the Rabbeinu Tam throughout Shas makes this comment, and here you have this very large Tosfos that spends the time to explain it. That Rabbeinu Tam lo goris v'shum makom v'cherot v'cherot. That he eliminates this girsa everywhere that we find this Mishnah quoted in Shas. Tosfos does offer the alternative, Yesh Mifashim. There are those that explain the field, Gersinim, Rechol Anach Mishnayot. It's the wind of that big Tosfos, that in all those Mishnayot, Vacheru Be'acherot, Lo Matzah Le'tui Raya, the Sfek Sfeka Asur. You can't bring any Raya, the Sfek Sfeka, from this if you are Goreset. The Dilma Hachi Kamar, Vechol Ha'acherot Be'acherot. That all the others fell into others. Why would you repeat the same thing twice? Says all the Mishnah is describing is the others that fall into others. Even though there's two robes here, by any other item where we're osir one robe and we're matir two robes, like for instance by yuchsin and other things, over here we don't say that, and we say that the two robe is not in batos. So that's the chiddush over here, even with the acherot, which would be something along the lines of what you were suggesting, David, which is that this is an exceptional case of robe that it would not be nitzbatel, and therefore you can't bring a raya in general to speak sveka from here. And so now we had a position of Rabbi Meir, which is when these items get mixed up, then it will go, they have to be burnt. They get taken out in a robe of 200 to 1. That is the level of bitul required for kilaya kerem. Chamim learned that out from the fact that by when it comes to truma and bikurim, that the level of bitul is 100 to 1. They learned that out from Abe Mikol Chalbo et Mikdashomi Menu. And from there, the pasuk sounds like whatever you are makdish, the 1 out of 100 that you take out, if it falls back in, it'll be mikadeshet. So that is by truma, it's 1 to 100 is considered the bitul. And since kilaya kerem has one thing above truma, truma is also ba'achila, but kilaya kerem is also so they doubled the bitul. And therefore, when it comes to kilaya kerem and orla, the requirement for bitul, midrabanan, is 201. Midor raita, from the Torah, it's batul berov. The chamim required in these instances 201 to be in the batel. And same with chuma, the rabbanan required 100 to 1. So chamim say over here, if it's 200 to 1, it's batel. Shehaya Rabbi Meir Omer, kol, shedarko limanot, mikadesh. Anything that is counted or enumerated is mikanesh. This is about what we have in machlokas, is whether it's kol shadarko limanot or et darko limanot. What's the lashon here? Chamim amrim inu mikadesh el shisha devrim beilvad. There are only 6 items which are so significant that they cannot be nitbatel. Rabbi Kiva Omer, shiva. And Rabbi Kiva says the list is 7. Veiluhen, these are they. Egoze perech, verimone badan. These are, according to Rashi, egozim, nuts, that come from a place called Perech, and rimonim, that come from a place called Badan. Tosfos, on the other hand, says about the Perech, that they are shem shenifrachim, that they break up, or they crumble. So that he thinks that it's a type of nut, rather than a location that's telling you where the nut is from. Rashi thinks they're both locations. V'chaviot stumot, sealed barrels. V'chilfei tradim, v'chilfei kruv. Both of those are stalks, and it means that the spinach with the stalk, or some say stalks of beetroot, and the kruv, the cabbage with the stalk on it. V'dzalat yivanit, and a Greek gourd. Rabbi Kiva Omer Mosif Af Kikarosho Balabayit. Kiva also adds in that homemade bread, homemade challahs, those are considered also to be choshuvim. And the reason is, as Rashi points out over here, on these 6 things, Tokshen Gidolim, all these items are large, Udmeyam Yekarim, and they're very expensive, V'choshuvim Miminam. And in their species, they're considered to be very significant. So these are the requirements to make something so significant that it would not be Nitbatel. Rashi mentions 3 things. One is that they're big. Number 2 is that they're expensive. And number 3 is within their species itself, they are a unique type of species. And for that reason, that's what Tosfos says here, that kikarot shel nachtum, the bread from the baker is not considered to be significant. I would have just said because balabatim have significant pride, they really care about their chalot, it's something unique. But here Tosfos says, shein katanot, they're small. The ones you get from the bakery are small. The ones that people bake at home are much larger. So for that reason, it's not considered to be something of significance. But according to the Chachamim, which are 6, and according to Rabbi Kiva, which is 7, these are the only items that are not nitbatel berov because they in themselves are considered to be so significant. And here, haro'oi lo'orla orla, haro'oi lekilei kerem, kilei kerem. In this list of items, those items that are fruits can have a din like orla. Those items that relate to kilaya kerem, that relate to the vineyard, they will be problematic in terms of kilaya kerem. So you have, some of the items are not fruits, so then we can't be talking about orla. For instance, by breads and wheat, you can't be talking about orla. So you have to be talking about some sort of mixture from kilaya kerem that they were cooked with, branches from kilaya kerem, whatever it is that caused them to have the issur of kilaya kerem. V'itmar Allah. And on this mission we had this machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, et shedarko limanot shaninu. That Rabbi Yochanan says that we're exacting over here. That it has to be something that only is counted. When we say that that's so significant that you can't sell it, it means etch a darkolim note. That's the classification that gives it significance, is that it's only sold by number. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Lakish Omer, kol she darkolim enot sheni. We're talking about over here, what gives it significance is any item that sometimes is counted, sometimes is enumerated by number. It doesn't have to be that it's always sold that way, but if it's normally sold that way, or many times sold that way, that's enough to give it significance. It says, anicha the Reish Lakish. So now back to our Gemara about Batel Barov. Over here. Our Mishnah makes sense according to Reish Lakish. There's no bittul here because Reish Lakish says that it's something that's sometimes enumerated by number. That's not in Batel. So that will say Batel Shvarim. Elul Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'ika the Meimar. But we're going to say according to Rabbi Yochanan says that it has to be the exclusive way to sell this item. Then it's not in Batel. Amra Papa. Hi Tana. Tana de Litra Kitziotu. The author of our Mishnah is the same author as the author of the Mishnah or the Brite of Litra de Kitziot. Litra is a measurement of Kitziot. Kitziot are pressed figs that are being cut. They cut them open to put them out in the sun to dry out. The Kitziot are those that are cut and then they're, from the word Mukta, they're designated to be left to dry out. So these are Litra de Kitziotu. The Amar. Kol davar sheyesh bo minyan. Afilu bidrabanan lo batel. So now he introduces a third possibility. So far we said in terms of significance, Rabbi Yochanan requires you to have it that be the exclusive way that this item is sold is by number. Reish Lakish says at least if it's normally sold or many times sold in this way, that's enough to be significant. This, Tana says, kol davar sheyesh bo minyan, and Rashi says, kol shadar kol yimenot kalal. If it's ever enumerated, at any point in time, if you enumerate such an item or a person might enumerate such an item, boom, that's significant and it's not batel. And he'll be the author of our Mishnah over here. His standard is, the threshold for his being chashuv is very low. And therefore he'll be the author of Mishnah, because then afilu b'drabanan, and isur d'rabanan is not nitbatel when you have that chashivut. In our case here, chumat k'tziot. The chuma of k'tziot. K'tziot are fruits that are not necessarily chayav in chuma midi oraita. They're only chayav in chuma midi rabanan. So therefore they will not be batel.
Why?
Why are they only chuma d'rabanan? Because they are perot ha'ilan that are not from tirosh, yitzhar, and from tua. That's the three things min haTorah, according to most Rishonim that are chayav midoraita, are the tvot, the five grains. Then you have tirosh, which would be grapes or grape juice, and you have yitar, which would be olives or olive oil. Those are the things that are considered to be chayav midoraita in truma. There are Rishonim that believe that perot ailan might be midoraita. Everybody holds yirakot for sure. Vegetables are only midorabanan. But over here, as Rashi is saying, that perot are also midorabanan. So you have trumat ktsiot, which is the rabanan, that would not be nitbatel because they're considered to be significant enough that they're sometimes enumerated. And that'd be enough. So this litra ktsiot, and of course, bidoraita. So he'll be the author of our Mishnah. The Gemara is going to then bring the braita, which goes all the way through the next amulet, so we won't do that today. The braita of litra ktsiot. But these ktsiot are considered to be significant enough because even though normally they're sold by weight or by type or description, here sometimes they're sold by number and they're counted. But since they are counted at some point in time, this Tana believes that they're too significant to be in the Batel, and he'll be the author of our Mishnah here too, who says that the Chatota Meitel, the Sharon and Miskal, Rov and nearby get mixed up with Zvachim. Zvachim will be not sufficient to be mitbatel them by Rov, because they are too significant. Since they are too significant, the item that's getting mixed up is too significant, therefore it will not be mitbatel by Rov. Okay, we'll stop over here.